Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you.
Hello and welcome to episode 281 of Dogcast Radio, dogcastradio.com, which is all about Am I Being Unreasonable and AITA Dilemmas. So let's dive right in with a very serious situation posed on Mumsnet by a user called Purple Me. When we went to visit family, we met one family member's new dog. They got him in the summer, so he's still a puppy or teenage dog. We all arrived together, so there were six of us along with three the dog already knew there. The dog was barking, which is fine. I know dogs bark around new people. But dog also growling. But they're saying he's fine, he won't hurt. So dog wasn't happy and wouldn't settle. Dog taken a bit away from people because not settling at all and with owner. So in the next room. My child, 10, went into room, went past dog, across room to get something, and the dog went up and bit her on the arm. Clearly because he was in this riled up state. And dog had to be pulled off her. She wasn't hurt, but was upset and shocked as you would be. I've never been bit by a dog in all my dog encounters. They say he's never acted like this before, and this is not like him at all. I thought this was dangerous. I'm very wary now. How would you expect the owner to react? Would this happen again? Okay, so this is serious. A dog biting or a puppy going beyond puppy nipping is serious. And even if it is puppy nipping, it needs to be addressed. There are some unknowns here, though. Has the puppy been around children before? Is it likely to be aggression or simply overexcitement? Was the child running or moving slowly? Did the child do something to the dog which provoked the bite? We're told the dog had to be dragged off the child, and yet the child wasn't hurt. So I'm assuming skin wasn't broken. So presumably the dog wasn't going for an all-out bite and was actually just holding on to the child. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't a good situation in any way, and Purple Me asks several questions. How would you expect the owner to react? Well, if it was me, for one thing, I'd apologise, but I'd also explain that puppies explore the world with their mouth and are very easily overstimulated. We know several people had arrived, so the dog was probably very excited, and that can tip over into behaviours we don't like. The owner has to protect the dog as well as the child, so I'd expect them to be talking about installing gates, using crates, and always supervising interactions between the child and the dog. Purple Me also asks, would this happen again? Well, if the same situation is repeated, quite possibly. I think in an ideal world, they would get a behaviourist involved who could observe the dog and see what's motivating the behaviour and suggest ways to manage that specific dog and child and family. So in this situation, I'd say the mum and the dog owner need to advocate for their child or dog and work together, ideally with a behaviourist, to ensure this doesn't happen again. Nobody's being unreasonable, and managing children and dogs, especially puppies, is difficult and demanding. On to another problem, this time from the Reddit AITA forum. AITA for dropping off my friend's dog at a doggy daycare when I was supposed to be watching him. My friend, 25F, asked me, 24F, if I could watch her dog, Cody, for 2 weeks while she went back to her home state to deal with some family issues. She told me he was potty trained, good with people, and good with other animals. I have a cat, Tawny. I had been to her house a few times, and at least during the times I've been there, he's usually a sweetheart. I said yes, and when it came time for her to leave, she dropped Cody and his things off. First thing I realised is that Cody wasn't as house-trained as she claimed. Maybe he knew it was wrong to pee in his house, but he clearly thought it would be perfectly okay to do it in mine. It happened on the first day, and when I told her, she said she had let him outside rather than walking him, like she usually would. So maybe he had just sat outside and did nothing rather than do his business. It had been on the vinyl wood floor, and I caught it immediately, so I just let it slide, cleaned it up, and took him for a walk right after. But as the days went by, and it happened more than once, it became clear to me that he just wasn't that well potty trained at all. Second thing I realised is that, yes, he's friendly with other animals, but that doesn't mean good with other animals. Tawny had no problem with him when he was calm, but when he was hyperactive and getting all up in her space, she would get hissy and swipe at him. I ended up banishing him from the upstairs. But that led to another problem. Cody hated to be left alone at night, He absolutely hated it and made sure everyone knew about it by whining and barking until he tired himself out. I finally ended up calling my friend and telling her that her dog isn't as well behaved as she claimed, and that she needed to tell me another friend of hers that she felt comfortable enough to hand him off to, or that I was just going to end up sticking him in a doggy daycare that she'd either have to pay for or pay me back for. She got upset and asked why I had agreed to dog sit if I was just going to dump him, but I agreed to dog sit a dog who was painted as not having behavioural issues. She couldn't find someone she could trust to take care of Cody, so I found a non-expensive but still decently reviewed doggy daycare to drop him off at. She said she'd pay me back, since I ended up paying up front, but that she was really cross with me and wasn't sure if she could depend on me for things anymore. I felt totally justified originally, but the more I thought about it, the more I realised I could totally understand why she'd be upset that I essentially went back on my word and also made her pay for a service she hadn't planned on using. Brackets, I hadn't asked her to pay me to watch her dog. AITA? Extra info based on things I'm seeing commonly asked about and brought up. 1. I know how to care for a dog. Before I moved out of my parents' house, I was the main caretaker for the family dog, Prince. One of the reasons I was convinced she hadn't trained Cody as well as she claimed was because Prince never had accidents, no matter where he was, once I had him potty trained. He understood that if he's inside, he shouldn't do it. 2. The daycare wasn't something I just chose on my own haphazardly. I looked through the places near me, and she agreed on one for me to take him to according to reviews and pricing. 3. I followed the instructions of Cody's care given to me. 4 walks a day with 4 hours intervals, starting at 8 with a last call to the backyard before bed. As for attention, I like to think I gave him plenty. I played with him indoors and outdoors, and he'd sit with me on the couch during downtime. He didn't really beg for attention during the daytime, and he didn't beg for attention during the night until he got permabanned. 4. I wouldn't say Tawny is socialised with dogs, per se, but Cody isn't the first dog she's been around. She's been around Prince, but we had him trained not to rush at people or jump at people, and that translated to other animals as well, by default, so she never had a problem with him. When my friend had told me, good with other people and other animals, I had assumed that meant he probably had similar training. Honestly, based on the mixed answers so far, I'll probably end up just splitting the costs with her. It seems both of us didn't think this through during her rush to leave. I had a standard for what I considered a trained dog to be based off of Prince, without considering that not every dog is going to be like Prince. And she didn't think how Cody might be in a new environment he's never been before, and assumed he'd behave as well as he did at home. A lot of assumptions had been made on both our ends that made sense in a vacuum, but not when put into practice. This one actually warms my heart, that it seems like the friendship will survive this little misunderstanding, and that the dog in question here was well cared for in the end. But look, yes, I agree with the poster that neither she nor her friend fully thought it through. They just expected the dog and cat to get along together with no gentle introduction period. The friend obviously was too busy preparing to go away to fully prepare her dog, even to the point of not supervising toilet breaks. Dogs may be fully toilet trained, but regress and have a few accidents if they're put into an unfamiliar environment. We moved house when Star, our Bichon Frise, was 7 months old, and she went back to peeing in the house, and we had to restart toilet training all over again. I think both people here have learned from the experience, and hopefully will deal with future dog sitting much better. So nobody's being an A here. Or the bad behaviour has been shared by both friends, and they seem to have worked through it very well. Staying with friendship issues now, but of a slightly more gentle kind. Here's the problem posted by Mickey. I'm feeling really pecked. I have had a rescue dog which had been abused. I've had her about 3 years. She's only happy exercising in the garden and going for a little walk in the avenue where she lives. After trying many different things, my vet and I decided together that I would just exercise her in the garden with a ball and let her walk where she is comfortable. It's heartbreaking that she's like this, but I've learned to accommodate her over the years, and she is having a happy life. I've had to explain why she is like she is so many times over the years, and I'm fed up of explaining to people. Now, an old friend has contacted me, who is wanting to meet up and go for walks with her dog. I've tried to explain the situation, but it just isn't sinking in. I'm having to repeat myself, and it's upsetting, and I have to say, annoying. I feel questioned, judged, and not heard. I'm feeling like telling the old friend to forget it. Am I being unreasonable? Okay, what I would do here is invite the friend and their dog over, Take the dogs for a little stroll up and down the road in which the rescue dog is comfortable, and if it looks like the dogs are happy together, take them back to the garden and let them spend time there together. I chat to the friend and suggest they come over another time. We walk the dogs in the road and see if the rescue dog is happy to venture a little out of the road with the other dog with them. See, I'm wondering if having canine companionship might give the rescue dog more confidence. If they took things very slowly and maybe even let the rescue dog watch from the safety of the car while the other dog walked in a new venue, maybe, just maybe, the rescue dog could become comfortable being more adventurous. Or maybe Mickey really does know her dog best and she's happiest staying close to home. And Mickey is happiest not being pressured by her friend. I'd like to think that the friend is trying to help here and is being encouraging rather than trying to put pressure on. We all, human and canine, have different tolerances and preferences. So if what Mickey's dog draws the line at is going out of their road and she's happy in that road and her own garden, the friend, however well-being their encouragement is meant, must accept that and either visit or simply enjoy walking just with their dog or another friend or whatever alternative they decide on. So my verdict is that Mickey is not being unreasonable and is being a great advocate for their dog, but mustn't rule out the opportunities that their friend and her dog may offer. Now, what's in a name? Would a rose by any other name smell as sweet? Yes, a bit of culture there for you, a bit of Shakespeare. This one from AITA is all about names. Ham Eagle says, AITA for telling my sister her baby's name sounds like a dog's name, and now she won't talk to me. My sister had a baby. I'm happy for her. Her baby's name is Ruff. It's Ruff. It sounds like a dog. I thought she was joking and I laughed. I was wrong. She asked me why I was laughing. I said it sounded like a dog barking. Ruff, ruff. I thought we were laughing, but she got mad. She was angry. She said I was being disrespectful and that the name had meaning to her and her husband. They love an obscure video game character. I told her that she can name her child whatever she wants, but people will associate it and it might be hard on him in school. She won't return my texts or calls. My mum says I should have kept my mouth shut. Am I the only one seeing this? I didn't mean to be a jerk, but Ruff? I can't be the only one who thinks this could backfire. So I told my sister that her baby's name sounds like a dog's name. Is she overreacting? Oh dear, it's a minefield, isn't it, commenting on other people's parenting choices. We all like different names, and I can remember when my sister-in-law was picking names for her two children. She had some that, to me, were quite outlandish options on her list. But I just smiled and nodded and was positive because, at the end of the day, it wasn't up to me. In the end, my niece and nephew have delightful names, but even if they'd been landed with stinkers, it was none of my business. So, back to Ruff. Yes, it does sound like a dog barking, and I do think this poor child is being set up for a lifetime of being made fun of. So, I find four Ham Eagle. No way are they an A. And I think Ruff may find life with their name tough.
You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com.
Now onto a problem that may have you at the end of your tether with a dog that isn't on leash at all. My husband and I were walking in the park today with our two-year-old, newborn in the pram, and our on-lead dog, who can be quite nervous around other dogs. A man came towards us with his small breed dog, off-lead, who went straight towards our dog for a sniff. Not horrendous, but I don't think dogs should be off-lead if they wander over to dogs on-lead, because you never know the other dog's situation. Then it ran at our two-year-old daughter, jumping up to her face, knocking her over on the second jump, causing her to fall in mud and become upset. The man made no attempt to recall the dog or apologise when it knocked her over. I responded to the incident in a clearly irritated tone, brackets, no shouting. Your dog should absolutely not be off-lead if that's how it behaves with children. No response, so we all just carried on our separate ways. My husband then said I was a bit harsh, as the dog only jumped up and wasn't aggressive. So am I being unreasonable for being annoyed enough to say something to this man? Okay, get ready. I'm going on a rampage on this one. This is a real bugbear of mine, so I'll just saddle up my high horse and get ready to gallop. It really, really annoys me when people don't put their dog on lead and don't control the dog and don't have a recall, and the dog just goes where they want to go, and the owner takes zero responsibility. It annoys me for several reasons, because it's irresponsible. You're putting the dog at risk. Say if the on-lead dog was on lead because it's reactive, and the off-lead dog got bitten, or knocked over, or, you know, harmed in any way, the owner has put the dog in that situation. What if the on-lead dog is perfectly dog-friendly, but had had surgery or an illness or injury of some kind, and the on-lead dog got knocked, barged over by the off-lead dog? You know, there's so many things. If the child had got injured, it's bad enough that the clothes got muddied, but the child could have been injured. It's a minefield. If your dog doesn't have good recall, and I've been there, you know, in the early days with Buddy, he didn't have fantastic recall. And so I was really, really vigilant, and I put him on lead at the first sign of anybody that he might go up to. And I can remember, you know, it is something that gets you really, really cross. I don't blame this woman at all for making a comment. She didn't shout. She didn't swear. She wasn't unreasonable. But I do think that the other owner should have been pulled up on their lack of responsibility. And I can remember being in a situation where I got Buddy, so it's quite a long time ago, because I got Buddy on lead with me. This lady was walking her two Labradors, and they ran over and sort of surrounded him. Now, Buddy didn't really give a monkeys, because he was very dog friendly and, you know, he didn't mind. But her two dogs started growling at him. And she said, "Oh, they're growling because he's on lead." So I just looked at her straight in the eye and said, "No, they're growling because they are off lead. Because if they were on lead, they would be with you and they wouldn't even be here bothering him." And she wasn't very happy, and she called them over eventually and off they went. But I do think, you know, not every person, child, other dog — people take cats out on lead now — but not every other person or creature wants your dog saying hello to them. You know, and if you can't recall them reliably, they should be on lead. It's not fair to any of the people or dogs or creatures involved. So I really, really, this is horrendous to me. It is a bugbear. We had this happen this week. I was training with Diamond, and someone had a small dog off lead, and the dog ran straight over, straight up to us. And it's so disrespectful. And the owner was saying, "Well, you're training in a public place." And yes, we were training in a public place, but they were in a public place. Surely they should have had the respect and politeness and manners, you know, to keep their dog away from other people, to keep their dog away from us. And besides which, you don't have the right to let your dog walk up to other people, whatever the situation. So, you know, it is, I do find it really, really irritating and just irresponsible. You can't, and your dog can't, and your children can't, and whatever, just behave in anyway. You have to have some level of respect for the rest of society, you know, or society crumbles. Anarchy happens. So there you go. Pick up your lead, put it on the dog, or anarchy is the way forward. Right, I will just pop my high horse back in the stable and leave him to cool down while we move on to a tricky question here, because weddings often cause arguments in families, even when everything is going well. So when there's an injured dog thrown into the mix, things quickly go from bad to worst. This one is posted anonymously on the AITA forum. The question is, AITA for choosing my dog over my brother's wedding. I, 24M, have a brother, 27M, who got married last week, and I unfortunately had to cancel at the last minute because my dog ran out into the street and got hit by a bike. He is now fine, but at the time I had to rush him to the vet, and he was in very rough shape. The doctor told me that he will need supervision for the next week, and this happened 3 days before the wedding, which was a no-pet wedding. My brother made it very clear that this was a no-pet event, and I even told him the situation, but he wouldn't budge. So I told him that I had to cancel and that I would not be attending due to the fact I needed to take care of my dog. A few days went by, and my family is now upset at me because I didn't show up and that I should have just got a dog sitter. But I didn't want to trust a random person or someone I know with so much responsibility, because my dog is one of the few things that helped me get through COVID. So AITA for missing my brother's wedding to take care of my dog. Now, the verdict on the site was that the poster was in the wrong, but I'm on their side. When you live with a dog, they are part of your family. Ideally, they're part of your family, but, you know, they are part of your family. So when they are ill, it impacts hugely on your well-being, and you just feel so tender and vulnerable towards them. And, of course, you want to be there with them and look after them yourself. And you don't want to just trust a random person or even someone you know really, really well, because you are a pet parent. And I do think, I've said this before, I don't mean that in a silly, fluffy way. I do mean it in the way that you bear parental responsibility for your pet, be it dog, cat, goldfish, whatever. You bear parental responsibility for that animal in the way that you supply love and education and food and healthcare. So if that animal needs nursing and supervising, you have to supply it. And that's a serious responsibility. Maybe the brother that was getting married could have compromised and allowed the dog to go. But if they really didn't want a dog there, then I do feel that there should be more understanding of the man that stayed with his dog. And I admire him for doing that in a difficult situation, for choosing his dog and for advocating for his dog and saying, no, my dog is my priority. You know, our dogs make us the centre of their world, and they only ask in return to be part of our world. We get much more, I think, from them than they get from us, really. And they enhance our lives in so many ways. And I think this is wonderful that he chose his dog. I absolutely am on his side. And, you know, if you want to say, okay, no, whether it's no pets or no babies or whatever you rule for your wedding, that's fine. But equally, if people want to be with their dog for whatever reason, particularly if they're ill or injured, or if they don't want to leave their baby around, whatever, I do think that you can't really object too much if they say, well, thank you very much, we wish you well, we hope you have a wonderful day, but we won't be there to share it with you. You know, everybody's choices have consequences, and you just have to accept the other person's choice and get on with the choices you've made, I think. I imagine that did cause problems in the family. I can imagine that. So, yeah, and I really hope that the dog is back to normal now. It sounds as if the dog wasn't too injured. And I do hope that the relationships within that family are back to full health as well. Moving on now to our last doggy dilemma, and it's a doozy. It's posted by Elegant Climate 6953, who asks, AITA for telling a wheelchair-bound lady her service dogs should not be at the playground. People are making me feel like I'm nuts here, and I can't believe this is real. Last Friday, my wife and I took our two kids under three to the playground in our neighbourhood park. This was a rare Friday when there were no commitments, as we usually take them first thing in the morning. As we approached, we noticed there were probably a dozen kids there and two large Labradors running in the grassy area unleashed. My wife and I are like, the dog shouldn't be there unleashed. But our little guy was so excited to be at the playground, so we continued. We let our boy run around and the younger one we put in the swing. Some parents that were there started talking to us. They are essentially one big neighbourhood parent group and meet up weekly. I didn't know anyone in this group. My son climbed a structure and went down a slide. Once he was off the slide, there were no kids on that structure. A lady that had the two dogs there, brackets, I still didn't know if she was a parent, let the dogs onto the playground structure and let them go down the slide. I spoke up to this lady and told her to keep the dogs off the equipment. She told me they were her service dogs. I said, I don't think service dogs play on playground equipment. She snaps back to me that service dogs are allowed to take breaks. She continues saying that we are here every week and no one has ever complained. I say that not everyone is comfortable around dogs and tell her I think it's selfish to let your dogs on the equipment, especially when children are around. Some parents support her and said as much to my wife and I. She told me that I should make sure my kids are comfortable around dogs before bringing them around dogs. I told this lady that was insane and completely missed my point. My wife and I left after this. We noticed a Facebook post about us, brackets, that we have not engaged with, and it seems it's 50-50 on it, whether we are in the wrong. Now, needless to say, when I read the headline here, I was all ready to be very much on the side of the service dog owner. But after reading the whole post, oh my goodness, I did a really quick 180. Now, this is a nuanced issue, because service dogs, assistance dogs, have a right of access to places that pet dogs aren't allowed. Also, service dogs are well trained and well socialised and receive excellent veterinary treatment and are kept properly groomed, and of course poop is duly scooped, so they don't pose any risk to children or adults, so I've got no problem with them being off leash near the playground. But letting the dogs on the playground equipment? Now, apart from anything else, that puts the dogs at risk of injuring themselves. Playgrounds aren't designed to accommodate dogs. I mean, yes, assistance dogs need breaks, but not on a playground. And apparently, this is a regular occurrence. I do wonder if the dogs really are service dogs, because surely the organisation or charity that supplied the dogs would have given guidance on meeting their needs, which wouldn't have included taking them on children's playgrounds. So I actually think in this case, it's perfectly acceptable to request that the dogs aren't allowed on the playground equipment. So I agree with the website votes that the poster is not in the wrong. I hope you enjoyed that collection of canine conundrums, and I hope that you agreed with my verdicts. Let me know your thoughts via email or social media. Oh, by the way, I'm now on Blue Sky as Julie Dogcast Radio, as well as on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Yes, I said Twitter, not X. That's it for now. If you spot a dog-related problem, question or discussion point online, let me know it and I'll give you my opinion on it for what it's worth. Anyway, that is it for now. So until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. What kind of motorbikes do dogs prefer? Howley Davidson.